pray. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 12, if you will. Anybody need a worksheet, slip your hand up. They'll come over and give you one if you want one. John chapter 12. And I would encourage you again to invite folks to the Sweetheart Banquet. Bring a friend. In years past, there's been a time or two where someone has said, I'll just take a table and fill it up with my friends. And that's a good way of doing it. And very few people will turn down a nice meal. And we'll have Corey Bain's going to speak. And I think there's been an Elvis sighting. And you didn't catch that, did you? An Elvis sighting. I think there's been an Elvis sighting. Thank you very much. And I don't know, he may show up. And but we'll have a good time. And so I want to encourage you to be here. If you have an update or anything for the prayer bulletin, while Merle's out, and I don't you know whether he'll get to be back on this or not, that's kind of up to him. But just call the church, and you can leave a message or talk to Miss Janice. And if you have someone on there, and she's a pretty busy lady. If you don't mind, if every 2 or 3 weeks, just give a call in and give a little update on how that person's doing, or something in particular happens, and all of a sudden there's been a drastic change or whatever. Just call the church there, 292-5000, and let them know, and I know they would appreciate that. I did get to see Mae Hamilton yesterday, and of course, she took that tumble down the steps, and basically they were afraid she was going to be paralyzed from the shoulders down, and then all of a sudden she was moving her hands and a little bit, and then she was moving her legs, and she was moving her feet, and now she's getting some, I don't want to be inappropriate here, but getting some sensitivity in between there, and knowing when the call comes, you know. But anyway, so that's all good, and all those things are good moves. So you keep praying for her. I know she'd appreciate that. All right, John chapter 12. And we didn't really spend a lot of time on the raising of Lazarus itself because we've covered it so much. We did do some verses in between there and around that gave us some things. And what we're doing tonight really needs to be looked at in the context of Lazarus having been raised. Okay, so what you don't say, well, we turned a page, we changed the chapter, that's gone. No. This is all going on. This is all part of the context of what we're seeing here. And, listen. It's amazing how when we read the Bible, and there was 5,000 people fed, and heard a page. You don't forget things like that. I mean, a guy was dead for 4 days, and they raised him out of the tomb. I mean, they walked right up to the tomb, and they pulled the thing open there, and here he comes out in his grave clothes. I mean, that's not something you forget real quick. And in fact, it was still quite a stir. And so when we look at this passage here, you got to remember that there's some very unusual things going on. Now, when unusual things go on, there's usually two sides to the response. We talked a little bit about that last week. And we're going to kind of see a little bit of that this week. It's amazing how many different points of view you can have. Some people can look at something that's good and say it's good. Some people can look at things that really is good and say, no, that's not good. That's not good for me. It's making life more difficult. And, it's kind of like, you laugh at these things, and you don't want your child to be sick and lying around the house and, sleeping all day. But I'll tell you what, once they get better, they're flying around the house, and you can't keep them down, and everything, this and that. And you almost think, man, it was easier yesterday when they were sick. At least they slept, you know. So, you see what I'm saying? And so sometimes it's our perspective. And again, I'm not trying to become political, but I do appreciate folks. Be honest with you, this is not as good as truth. I thought after last Wednesday night's message, no one's going to want to come tonight. But we got a pretty good crowd here tonight, almost better than usual. And I'm not trying to be political, but we do have to have some sense about us. And there are sort of things that are going well, but if things going well makes you look bad, then it's not well. At least that's the way, you know what I'm saying, in our mind? Well, that's not good. And what we should want is just whatever's best for everybody. And that's not always the way we look at it. Let me read some verses here. John chapter 12, beginning verse number 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover. Now this is 6 days before the final Passover, the Lord's Supper and all that. Okay, so we're right at the very end. Now we're only halfway through John. But John shows us who he is. And then he's going to show us who he is throughout the crucifixion. Remember when Jesus, remember he kept saying in John here, I don't want to steal the thunder here, but in these first 11 chapters, over and over again, he said, well, my hour has not yet come. Well, they can't kill me yet because my hour has not yet come. But there's going to come a time when he says, my hour has come. Glorify the Son that I may glorify the Father. So when John writes this, he establishes his deity in those first few verses, the first half of the book. But by the time we get to chapter 13, we're at the Passover. We're right before the Passover here. We're coming in chapter 14. We're in the midst of the Passover night. And we've got 21 chapters. So we're coming down to the end here. And so he said, this is God. And then he's going to say, and God died for you. Remember what glorified means, to let it be seen what he is. Really what it means. When you let Jesus be seen for what he is, it's an amazing thing. Now you let me be seen for what I am. But glorify the Father means to let him be seen for what he is. You can't have anything but praise. So he's going to let himself be seen for his throughout all that he does through that crucifixion. Now, he has been showing himself for what he is, and some people like it, and some folks don't. So let me go back to verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. So he's back in town again. Now remember, it wasn't unusual. That was kind of his place to stay when he was going to be in Jerusalem, about a mile and a half out of town. That's where he would stay, at Mary and Martha, Lazarus' house. Verse 2. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. I was sitting in the doctor's office on Monday, the congestive heart failure doctor, which, by the way, she said, you know what, you might get to the point where you're almost normal. Oh, well, thank you very much. But I appreciate that. But anyway, so it was a good visit for what it was worth. And I'm sitting there waiting. They were running late. And I made the mistake of opening up one of those magazines that has the perfume samples. It got stuck in my throat. It was awful. Well, this is funny what it says here, the odor of the ointment. She broke this. I mean, she had a whole pound of this stuff, and she broke that thing open, and she poured it all. It's a little bit behind on your ears is all you need, right? You know? But I mean, you know how the boy the first time he on his first date, you know, when he shaves those two hairs off, and then pours on a whole bottle of aftershave lotion, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And you walk in, and there's a haze around him, you know. Well, there was a haze in the room here. You walked in, and you knew. In fact, you could probably smell it outside the door. Maybe down the block. This stuff was potent. And so when she did this, nobody missed it. And you're thinking, oh my soul, what in the world were they thinking? Okay. Verse 4. Then said one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief had the bag, bear what was put in it, put therein. Then Jesus said, let her alone. Against the day of my bearing hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but they that might see Lazarus also. I mean, he was almost a sideshow. You know, you got the man with three heads, you know, the bearded woman, the sword swallower, and the guy that was raised from the dead. I mean, it was a sight to behold. It's almost like they want to go, was it really you? Come on. Show me some place where you'd already started to gross up on me here. It was a sight. It doesn't happen every day. And so they were there to see not only Jesus, but the fact is right now we got Jesus, but we got a pregame show here. We got Lazarus. Verse 10. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. Now again, we all along here, they've been trying to kill him, and even Jesus even said, well, you were trying to kill me. Oh, you're possessed. We're not trying to kill you. Come on, what's the matter with you? We're not trying to kill him. Honest, we're not trying to kill him. Figure out how we can get him. We're not trying to kill him. But they decided they were going to get rid of Lazarus as well. Because that by reason of him, Lazarus, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. So there was many that happened, that happened at the tomb. At the tomb, there was many that left there that day. And it says, verse 45 of chapter 11, that many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. That was after Lazarus was raised from the dead. Now, since many believed on him, they went back to town. So now they heard Jesus back in town, and he's at Lazarus' house. Well, I missed it when they had the main show there down at the tomb, but I'm going to check this thing out. Bunch of rubberneckers. Did you ever notice that? On my car, on the navigation, it'll say, traffic jam at exit 23. You get there, and there's not an accident along the road. It's everybody going slow, going. That's why we're having a traffic jam. And you know, this is nothing different. This man was dead, now he's alive. I wonder what it looks like. Does he have spots on him? Is he, you know, does he still have his hair? Or is he, you know, does he look like, or I mean, what, did he really die? I mean, he looks pretty good. I don't know. My point is this. People were looking because the Lord Jesus had done something amazing. Now, let's pray, and we're going to talk about how to become an enemy without trying. Or you could say how to become the bad guy without really trying. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and for the truth and some interesting little thoughts here this evening. And Lord, this is right down here where we live. And these are the things sometimes that kind of can get a hold of us and push our buttons and scare us off and make us fear to really follow and do right. And Lord, just help us to see these things and make some decisions now. So when this situation occurs in our life, and it will, because all those that live godly shall suffer persecution, if we're going to live for you, so that when we live for you, we're not surprised. In fact, Jesus said, I'm telling you all these things ahead of time so that when it happens, you're not surprised. We told his disciples. And so, Lord, I'm trying to warn them some things and help them see some things. And maybe they're in the middle of some things right now. Or maybe there's been some times in the past where this was what was going on. They didn't quite understand why they were kind of considered the bad guy, the enemy. And we see some things here this evening. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. In this passage, John gives an account here that is also covered in the other Gospels. However, as John often does, he includes things in here that the others don't. And he seems to disregard some things that the other ones mentioned. John has been establishing that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, God the Son. The religious leadership refuses to accept Jesus for who he is, because then it means he gets the rule over them. They see it as, listen, if we really saw Jesus for who he is, we would be thrilled to death to let him handle things and take the wheel. But if we don't like what God is doing, we're not willing to yield to him, what we see him is as a dictator. And that's what they saw. They didn't want him dictating their lives and say that they reject Jesus. They see him as the enemy. Now, instead of rejoicing over the help and the healing that Jesus has brought to the people over these last few years, the Jewish leadership seek to destroy Jesus for threatening their position of authority. It is as if they simply cannot see the good that he's done, or they look right past it on purpose. All they see is the trouble or the problems because he's not in support of their agenda. Jesus is standing on the truth of the original Word of God and the original intentions of God, who founded that truth, if you want to say it that way. But he is being accused of being divisive. How can Jesus be accused of being divisive when he is the one that's standing on truth? In love. I mean, love's his middle name. He that loveth is born of God and knoweth God, for God is love. That's who he is. He's God in the flesh, and you cannot get any more perfect than that. And yet he's accused of being divisive. Last week they said, we got to kill this man before he stirs everybody up, and they get in trouble with Rome, and a whole bunch of us are dead. He's just causing a lot of trouble. It's the same old thing I've said before. You know, when Billy Sunday came through town, he would preach against liquor so bad, mainly because he was saved at the Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago, Illinois, as a drunk, even though he had been a very famous ball player. He was saved. I remember the night, I still remember the night I preached at Pacific Garden Mission. That was kind of cool. He preached where he was saved. You could just list men after men after men that were saved through the Pacific Garden Mission. But he knew the dangers of that stuff. Wine's a mocker, strong drink is raging. He's deceived thereby is not wise. It'll get you. It'll bite you like a, it goes down smooth and turn right around and bite you like a snake. You listen to the news, and I can't tell you how many times they say, well, there was this shooting or this attack or this happened, and alcohol was involved. Well, the alcohol bottle didn't get up there and get involved and pull the trigger. I'll tell you when they pulled the trigger, when they pulled the cap off and it went down, that's when they pulled the trigger, right there. And it's a loose cannon. You don't know where in the world that thing's going to shoot. Anyway, Billy Sunday would preach, and he'd get everybody stirred up. And what was happening was people got saved and stopped going down the bar. And they literally had no business, and the bars were closing up in those towns. And they came to Billy Sunday and said, listen, you're going to have to change this thing because, man, you're making an awful stir. You're rubbing the cat the wrong way. And you know what he said. Well, then turn the cat around. When you read the Word of God, it's real clear, and you don't like the way it feels, turn the cat around. Don't complain about who's rubbing the wrong way. The Lord does not rub the wrong direction. We're just heading in the wrong direction. So Jesus is standing on truth, and they don't like him because they think he's being divisive. Now, Jesus is not going to give credence to their superficial works of religion that the scribes and the Pharisees have established. And Jesus is going to stand first on the Word of God. And so the world that is walking away from God and His truth sees a division between them and those old ways. And they blame the contention and division on Jesus for hanging on to truth and not moving on and being progressive like the rest of the world. Truth does not cause division. Truth is absolute. Variance from the truth is what causes division. We can blame good all we want, but good is good, truth is truth, right is still right. And if you're divided from right and truth, you're the one who moved. Philippians 2:1 says, if there be any, therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Not look on every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not a robbery to be equal to God. Made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of servant, made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of Christ. That's the mentality, and if we all will get his mentality, we're going to have no problem getting along with each other. If you think everybody else is better than you, and they all think you're better than they are, and you treat each other with that kind of respect, I don't think we're going to get too bad a shape. Now, if the church is not diligent to add to their faith, even the church can see division among the ranks. But if we are faithful to the Word of God and our study of it and our observance of it, the church will be able to stand strong together. That's why it says in Ephesians 4:11, He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie to deceit. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, who from whom the whole body, fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I go through that fast because you know that passage. We ought to need to have the mind of Christ, and we can have the mind of Christ when we get in the Word of God and have the unity of the faith. We're not going to have contention. Now, if we fail to add to our faith, we will see the church of God fall because we are biting and devouring one another. Galatians 5:14 says, for the law was fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. What am I saying? I'm saying that the Pharisees thought they were serving God, but they were against Jesus. They were against Jesus because Jesus was not going along with what they were doing. So there's division. But if we're all going along with what God says, there's not going to be that division. Now, the portions of the scriptures that you're going to see here again tonight, those portions, those parts are not in the other gospels. These are things, those are actually parts of the story that only John has. So just, I do that just so you kind of see where we are in this passage. Number one, we're going to have a welcome back to life party. Welcome back to life party. Verse 1, then Jesus 6 days before Passover came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead. Whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. By the way, Martha's servant again. You know the story, Martha, you're cumbered about with so many things, you know. Well, she still is. Now, I don't know whether it's a bad thing or a good thing, but this is afterwards. She's still doing the same thing. She's back in Luke 10. She's still cumbered about with much cumbering. I think he just kind of throws it in. Well, Martha's being Martha, you know. And Lazarus... Well, Lazarus is alive. I mean, not long ago, he was dead, buried. So we're having you kind of say, we're having a back-to-life party. This is a celebration. This is something that's notable. They're having a party. Lazarus is going to be there. So is Jesus. Let's go crash the party and see what's going on. Now, watch this. Letter B. We should be ready to celebrate our life in Christ. We should be ready to celebrate our life in Christ. You listen, don't be ashamed that once you were dead and now you're alive. Once you were blind, now you see. Once you were lost and now you're found. Amazing grace has saved a wretch like me. Don't be afraid of that. We ought to celebrate it. Listen, everybody that knows you're a sinner. You don't need to try to hide it. We all know it. I am too. Let's just take our halos off, come to church and realize and have a good time and celebrate that we're alive in Christ. Our life should be one continuous celebration that we're alive in Christ. I got up again this morning. Now, I'm not anywhere near, there was about a week and a half where I wasn't sure I was going to make it to Thanksgiving because I thought either the way they made it sound, either my heart was going to stop or I was going to bleed to death because of my kidney. Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't know. I don't know whether I had grace because God had said, well, it's going to be okay, you're going to make it through this thing, or whether I just had grace, it was okay to go to heaven, but I was thinking that too. And I was kind of disappointed. I really didn't want to go yet. But it was okay. I didn't really want to go yet, but it was okay. But now, I mean, I was telling the guys at deacon's meeting, I'm feeling pretty good. I got finished choir practice last Sunday night, and I'm usually dead tired, and I'm about ready to go, I feel good. Na 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 na. I really did. I wanted to do a little dance there. I was really feeling pretty good. Now I'm still not probably I'm still about 96%, I guess, but Dr. Smith called up today, wanted to know if I still want to do the SOAR conference. I said, yeah, I want to do the SOAR conference. Well, I just want to check and make sure it's okay. But I'll be honest with you, in some ways, like I told the guys last night, I kind of feel like I'm going to get my second wind and have even a little slightly different perspective. You know what I mean? Now, I don't know how much time I'm going to have, but I'm going to use what time I've got. Maybe just kind of need a little kick in the backside or so. I don't know. But we ought to celebrate the life we have. And I feel like I'll get to celebrate again. Every morning is a celebration. I'm still alive. Now, there's a celebration. And in small towns, word gets around. I'll be honest with you. I've had people down the town here when I'm in and out now. The last few weeks, last week or two are here. I've been actually out, kind of out. And Pastor Walsh, is that you? Yeah, that's me. Are you doing okay? Yeah, I'm doing okay. I'm almost spectacle. Well, I heard you were pretty bad. I said, well, that's what they told me. Well, I wasn't as far down as a lot of people are, and I'll be honest, I really didn't feel that bad. I mean, that's why it's a thrill to see Brother Paul come walking in here, you know? One of these days, you're going to be down here at the end of the aisle welcoming folks at Invitation again. We ought to be able to celebrate life. And things getting around. And so in the context of this story here, it got around that Lazarus was alive. And they were celebrating. It was known. You would think that everyone, including the liberals, I mean the scribes and the Pharisees, would be happy for Lazarus and his family that he has been raised from the dead. You would think. You would think that they'd be glad that the economy is doing better. And you would be glad that unemployment is lower than it has been in over 50 years. And they're still complaining that nobody can find work. Heard it last night on the Comedy Hour on CNN. From 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock last night. It would be funny if it wasn't so sad. But this caused them pain. I mean, Lazarus is alive. As far as they were concerned, that was a pain. Letter C. The celebration of Jesus often causes the world to grieve. They don't like his name to be lifted up. Because if you lift up the name of Jesus, then his light shines on the rest of us and we see us for who we are. And sometimes we're just not ready to give up the fight. I said that to Janet. You listen to the news and you got, you know, this person's killing that person. And you know what? I've heard more killings by stabbings recently. Have you listened? Have you heard that? I guess that was in a gun-free zone. And I'm sitting there and watching the TV and I'm thinking, well, you ready to give up yet? Or are you going to hang on to the same old thing? Are you ready to give in and find out what the real answer is yet? Or are you just going to keep doing the same stupid thing? They think we're crazy. But they've been doing the same thing and getting the same problems only worse. That's the definition of insanity. Trying to do the same thing and get something different. Doesn't work that way. They want love. They need the one whose middle name is love. They want joy. They need to go to the Spirit that gives love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness. Boy, if you had a bunch of people walking around long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, love, peace, you know, you're not going to have a whole lot of stabbings. Are you ready to give up yet? And somehow it looks like we just can't. We can't allow that to look good. It grieved the leadership that things had worked out so well. Look at verse 12. I mean, chapter 12, verse 9. It says, much people, the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. Why? Because, I'll tell you why. Because that he, by reason of him, many Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Makes no difference of the wonderful things that have happened. The lame who've been able to walk, the blind that can see, the deaf that can hear, the withered hands made whole, the leper cleansed, and one, actually kept several, who were dead and now are alive. But you know, the fact is, people are believing on him. So, well, no wonder they're believing on him. What was surely a good thing for Lazarus and for the glory of God was seen as a bad thing for the adversaries of truth. And those who are the adversaries of truth are the adversaries of Jesus. This caused hatred and animosity toward Jesus, and watch me, and toward those that followed him. Number two. We saw some celebration. We're going to see, number two, expressions of gratitude. Expressions of gratitude. If you know, listen, if you're saved and God has done a work in your life, there ought to be gratitude. And I've said before, you know, we ought to be wise, knowing what the will of God is. Ephesians 5, be not drunk with wine, whereas excess, be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Rejoicing in the Lord. With thanksgiving, submission. That's, listen, if the Lord gets a hold of you and he's going to change your heart, you're going to have a different attitude. And if, you know what? It's grateful. I think sometimes Christians have heard the name of Jesus used in vain so long, you're almost feel wrong using it. Well, the Lord's been good. So many people kind of use that term flippantly sometimes, that you know, so I think some was afraid of use. Go ahead and use it, though. Lord's been good. He's good all the time. Gratitude. Gratitude we have here flowed from Mary. Look at verse 3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. You know, it's funny. Those who really are happy in the Lord are glad when somebody else gets happy. But sometimes people who really aren't happy in the Lord get around somebody who's happy in the Lord. You know what they think? They think they're annoying. She never even gave a thought. She just let it loose. And the picture of it, of it just kind of, I mean, I think it was a little much. It was all. Jesus paid it all. To him I owe. And, you know, I don't think she said, well, all to him I owe, so I guess I better go. I don't think she even thought that way. She says, I just want to do something. I just want to do something. I got to pick on Carol. I remember in that when we were at your house, and I went over to your house to visit you and Queen Mary, her mother, Mary Eisenhart. And we were back. They had built Lynn Hoover had built an apartment in the back there. And that's where Miss Mary lived. And we went back there to talk to Miss Mary, and we sat down and chatted, and the Hoovers had invited Carol to come over, and Carol had, I guess, I don't know whether your mom had come a time or two maybe at that point, I'm not sure. But she was there that morning when I went over to visit. And I still remember going in there and sitting down and chatting with them and so forth. And I asked Carol, I said, do you know for sure if you die to go to heaven? She said, no, but I think I'd like to, or I'm not sure how she said it. So we spent some time with her and Miss Mary, went through the gospel, and they both prayed with me. I still remember Carol looked at me, she said, I'm sorry, but she said, can I hug you? Exactly right, that's my point. It was almost like a little kid at Christmas. Did we get to open them yet? It's right there. That's what Esther would do. It's right there. And then she smile. You know, let me see if I can kick that paper over a little bit there. You know, when you've got Christ and you've got a new life, it ought to be like that. There's a celebration. There's a gratitude. You know what we would do with Esther? Calm down. We used to say she was Estering. She's Estering. Joanna Esters. You know Joanna, right? Okay. She Esters. She gets it natural. But she kind of gets it from me. But I don't think I was quite that. I don't know. But. And sometimes, if you know, it almost gets to be too much. When Joanna and Silas were at our house and the Jagger girls came in. You grin and then you find someplace else in the house. You wonder why I live in such a big house. Gotta be someplace else to hide. After a while, it just gets to be too much. But they are rejoicing in the presence of each other, so they cannot contain themselves. It's been let loose. Jesus went in there, and she let loose. And everybody was complaining about the stink. And she says, isn't that great? I wish I had more. Let her see. True heartfelt gratitude can cause us to let down our guard. And that's okay. That's not a bad thing. I'm not complaining. Listen, some of you dignified people are going to shout when you get to heaven. I'm sorry. But you're not going to be able to hold it in. It's going to burst. I'm a good independent fundamental Baptist boy, and we don't dance. But there's a song I did for Ruth Emick's funeral. I also did for Larry Reese's daughter's funeral, and it's called "I Can Only Imagine." And in that song, and I know it's a contemporary song, you know, all this stuff, da 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 da. But I tell you what, you don't have to sing it like that. And I sang it, and it said, "Will I dance, or will I just stand there still in awe?" David danced before the Lord. Not what the world does. It's when you're point you can't contain yourself.
You know, so I know some of my buddies talk about having a Baptocostal fit. I know that sometimes people get out of hand, they start putting on a show, and it can happen. It can happen in the independent Baptist churches too. But listen, it's okay. You know, if it gets you, you don't have to hold it in. Well, I want to be dignified. When I greet my wife, I don't get dignified. Somebody you've seen that, you know, has been out a long time, it's okay to get happy. Get grateful. Celebrate. They're having a party. He was dead and he's alive. We were dead and headed for hell. And we're alive in Christ. I got a good feeling that Lazarus didn't forget the day he came out of the tomb. Some will understand when we get their see true heartfelt gratitude. But others will think you're going overboard. Some will think we're being fanatical. Some are going to think you're being extreme. We may have no problem allowing the whole world to know of our love for Jesus, and that would be good. Whosoever believeth in him should not be ashamed. Everyone knew what had happened to Lazarus. And you could not escape the overwhelming fragrance that permeated the entire dwelling and the nostrils of each one present, and probably three blocks away. I heard one preacher. He said, the perfume, the spikenard, is very penetrating and it's very potent. And it is something that's used to bury to kind of overcome the stink of the body. It's so overpowering that you really can't, you don't notice the stink because its stink is just so much. Have you ever hurt something and you really hurt, and you hurt something else, and this hurts so much bad you don't even notice this one's hurting anymore? Have you ever? I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one that's clumsy. But there's times when you hurt one thing, you feel like you hurt something else. This is 6 days. When I was in college, we had this place kind of like the Texas Hot Wiener, you know, it was over in Hanover. Okay, this was, called Harry's Lunch down in Westminster. It was within a block and a half of the college. And I could go down there, and for a buck, you get a hot dog loaded with all the onions and everything, you know, and eat that thing. My hands would smell like onions for 3 days. He put so many onions on. By the time you got that thing down in the little chili sauce, and were you ever Harry's Lunch? It was in on Main Street for a while. Then they ended up putting one out on 140. But he was in on Main Street, and you could go into Harry's Lunch and sit down and have a bowl of their chili and a hot dog, and you could eat there for cheap. But they would load that thing with those onions, and you just smell like onions. Well, apparently that spikenard would get into your flesh. Now watch me. She poured it on his feet until it ran down and she picked up the extra with her hair. That stuff hangs around on a dead body for a long time. Why did she do that? Because she loved him. She was grateful and celebrating life. She had seen it in her brother and she looked for the life to come. Do you realize when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he could smell the love of the spikenard rising?
somebody loves me. And every time you feel the love, every time you think of the cross, you remember there's somebody that loves me. The sweet smell of his forgiveness, which, by the way, they asked the little boy, what's forgiveness? He says, that's the smell a rose gives when you crush it beneath your foot. That's forgiveness. You couldn't escape the overwhelming fragrance. The last thing the leadership of the Jews wanted was for Jesus to get good press. Positive PR was the last thing they wanted for Jesus. And positive response from the public on behalf of Jesus will cause a negative response from the public on their behalf. It's almost as if they said, we cannot allow Jesus to look good, so we must do whatever it takes to stop the support of this man, even to the point of murdering Lazarus if we have to, just to get him out of the public eye. We got to stop here. We'll pick up next week. So, well, how could all this be bad? How in the world could you end up being an enemy? I don't want to kill it here, but they saw Lazarus as the enemy. Well, how could he be the enemy? He's a tremendous testimony of new life in Christ. All you got to do is let God give you a new life in Christ and be a good testimony of it, and somebody is going to be upset with you. We'll cover some of that next week. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the way you take care of us. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to see this and not be upset. I mean, you know, if we're kind of looked down on because we follow Christ, well, then we're in good company. We're right there beside Lazarus. You can't get much better than that. If people could look at us and say, well, there's somebody that was dead, and now he's alive. What a wonderful thing. And yet, we also read that many believed when they saw Lazarus. Those who weren't going to believe are still not going to believe. If they had already made their decision, I know that. But there's many out there that are ready to believe if they just could see new life. They're looking for new life. May we be an example and a witness and a shining light of that new life. Thank you, Father. Use us for your honor and your glory. Make us what you want us to be for your sake. In Christ's name.